black, and he's Indian, and unfortunately, you guys, this is the last episode, but you know, hey, no tears, no crying. We're going to celebrate. This is a celebration. This is a...
Celebrate!
Yeah, you know, we are going... Are you done? Please, go on. Sing us through the podcast. We'd love to hear your beautiful voice.
I was done.
Oh, okay, great. Bless your heart. Anyways, I am your host, Chanel number 5, and I'm, of course, joined by my special co-host...
Joey, number 7.
Oh, so we decided to rebrand ourselves. Okay, nothing wrong with a little rebrand. You know, every now and then we got to switch it up, keep it juicy. I get that. I respect that.
Juicy fruit.
Anywho, so Joey, how has your week been? Well, how's your week starting out? Or how was last week? How was your weekend? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, actually. Weekend, slept one day, next day, spent some time with the loved ones, you know. It was great. There's this pizza place that me and you went to with your mom for Mother's Day.
For like a pre-Mother's Day situation.
Yeah, it's pre, because I won't be here for Mother's Day, so...
Yeah, neither one of us will. We are going to a graduate.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. What?
It was a pretty good pizza place that we went to.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was called Perry's or something rather. It's a chain, and they're starting to pop up. But you know, I recommend looking your area, you guys. I think it's Parry's. If you have one near you, I recommend. It's definitely a New York style. Pizza pie situation, and other dishes. So if New York style pizza is your thing, definitely go check it out. But yeah, we celebrated Mother's Day early, a week early this year, because we are going to be out of town for graduation. So, excited about that, about the getaway, about celebrating, you know, higher education, because education is power. So, shout out to all the graduates out there. No, Joey?
Yeah, shout out to all of them.
What are you doing? Are you engaged in conversation?
Sorry, I was listening.
Sound like you were swigging. What you drinking over there?
Oh, man, you know, sounds like a little White Claw day.
Oh. I can dig it. What flavor?
A mango.
Oh, so of all the seltzers and, you know, spiked water situations, which one is your favorite of all the brands?
You know, I started with Truly, then I went to, well, I mean, I've had White Claw, then I was drinking like Truly a lot, but then Truly made me feel more of like bloated,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I switched to Vizzy. I think that's how you say it. And Vizzy is good, but now I'm, I guess, back to White Claw. I mean, I just switch it up, I guess, here and there.
What about, what did you think about the Topo Chico or whatever it's called?
You know, I wasn't going down the border.
Okay, does that mean you didn't like it?
Yeah, I mean, if I were to book a flight out, I went to Cancun. I mean, it's okay, but I don't know, something, it's just like drinking Truly now, like when I taste it.
So is it the flavor profile that throws you off, or it just,
you know, like when you're eating something, right? If your tongue is the most powerful, one of the most powerful, part of your body, right? When you, especially when you're eating, and if it doesn't, and when you're intaking something and it's not, you don't feel comfortable, you just kind of like stir away from it. And I think that's how I feel about certain alcohol or food. If I eat, you know, when I eat it, like it's just, if it doesn't taste right, then I just don't feel the cure to eat it again, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. I was just trying to see if it was more of a flavor thing versus how it makes you feel versus buzz, how long it lasts and these things. I think overall, I definitely switched over to the Topo Chico or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I definitely switched to that for a little bit, but I think that now that I've gone back to the White Claw, yeah, I think White Claw is definitely going to be the top spot. Topo Chico is a close second, but I think the White Claw, the buzz lasts a little longer. The flavor is good. Topo Chico, I love the flavor. I just don't know that the buzz payoff is as great. Vizzy is fine. I like the flavor better than Truly, and then unfortunately, I think I'm gonna have to put. I like Truly. I'm gonna have to put Vizzy and Truly together.
I'm not saying Truly is bad. I would not drink it again, but I think that it was time for me to put down the Truly.
Certain flavors are better in Truly for sure.
Yeah, I like the mango. I like the fruit. What do you call it? Passion fruit? I'm not too big on the blueberry though.
Well, it just I will say this: if you are someone who likes a more of a sweet beverage, alcoholic beverage, then for sure go with the Truly and probably the Vizzy. If you are someone who is trying to substitute beer, or you know you want something that's more like a refresher, then definitely lean more towards the White Claw and Topo Chico. But Nana's doing a full segment about alcoholic beverages. But since we're on the topic, let's talk about another really cute alcoholic beverage that is for actually an event in Louisville. We're going to Louisville, and Louisville just had Derby. Do you know their alcoholic beverage of choice during the Derby? Do you know what it is?
Woodford?
No, but that's a good... good guess, but actually the mint julep is going to be one of the most popular, if not the most popular drink that they have around Derby time. Have you ever had a mint julep?
Never.
Well, I recommend we could probably get a little recipe and make one. Guys, I promise we're not alcoholics. We just love to indulge. And plus, we both grown, so y'all are all up in our business, so don't even worry about it. Just kidding. Anyways, yeah, so the mint julep, what else, other than now that you know the drink, what else do you know about Derby? You being from Texas, what when someone mentions the Kentucky Derby, what is it to you? What do you get out of it?
Yeehaw, we put the motor in your transmission. Sorry, it was just a... gambling is one of the things that I've seen. I didn't know that people pay millions and millions of dollars to watch horses run like that.
Well, yeah, the place bets and see who's going to win, place and show.
That's just crazy.
Well, I mean, when they don't pay it just to watch, they place bets on it. And then, you know, look, people bet on horses all year round, but Derby is essentially like the Super Bowl. Right? So people bet on sports all the time, and horse racing is no exception. So if you do it often and you are, you know, really educated about the sport, you can pick the winner or at least pick, you know, the placing. There's different types of bets that you can place.
I might bet for Seabiscuit.
Haha. So, you know, look, if you're really good, and you have that confidence and you have that money to blow, I mean, you can turn a really hefty profit.
You know, I mean, I've never really paid attention to that. I guess it was not my type of thing. But then again, there is a hype, right? Preference for Derby. It's like, what, under...
For the jockeys?
Yeah.
Yeah, so jockeys are going to be notoriously and... pretty much a requirement for them to be very short guys, you know, under 5 foot. I think we're talking like 4'9", 4'11". So I don't know. I guess if you are, you know, you realize you're probably not going to hit that growth spurt, I imagine this, you, as a man, I guess you feel like, you know, hey, maybe I could be a jockey. And I think it's a lot of money to be made in that. I mean, just like with any other sport, I'm not sure exactly what the going rate is, but considering sports, considering horses is such an expensive pastime in general, whether you indulge in horses for pleasure or for sport, horses are expensive in any capacity.
Some of them, I think, like to take care of a horse per month is like more than 10 grand.
Yeah. You would be correct about that much. And like I mentioned to you on Saturday, a lot of people all around the world, including Queen Elizabeth, they house their horses in Kentucky. So, you know, that's something that we're proud to be host of so many little horsies from all around the world, and I imagine them just mingling and cutting up and, you know, swapping world travel stories. And you know, speaking of horses, and I promise we're going to be done with the horse talk, people, I promise. You know, I just... Thank you for the sound effects. You know, I just found out how horses travel. Do you know how horses travel? Because I guess I never really thought about it.
Well, isn't there a 1-800 number they can call?
Well, maybe. But, you know, I was like, well, do they get on a plane? Do they get on a boat? Did you know there's whole airplanes dedicated to just horses? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get their own planes. They get their own planes and they load them up on there. And the trainer has to ride with them, which, you know, I'm sure it's probably fun for the horses. I'm sure living it up in on the horsey plane. But the trainers, you know, depending on where these horses are coming from, the smell has to be awful.
Horses have like the Mile High Club or something.
What?
What?
What did you say?
The Mile High Club.
For the horses, Joey? Something's wrong with you. You're a sick individual.
I was just saying, I wonder, it's funny.
Yeah, hey. And I wonder about the smell on the thing. But you know, you've ruined the topic for me. I'm ready to move on. Speaking of moods being killed, on Friday we went out to do a little dancing, to cut a little rug. And while we were out at this club, I saw someone that I completely forgot about. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
So when little Joseph and I were out at this little club, right? We, you know, having a little conversation, a little dance, a little cocktail, if you will. And there I see on the dance floor, whipping her back and forth, was this girl who is differently abled. And I know it sounds bad for me to say, Chanel, why don't you like the differently abled girl? Look, it's not that I don't like this person. I really, I honestly don't even know this girl personally. But here's the backstory. So years ago, I used to work at this store called Garage. It's a clothing store, retail store. And there was this girl who was differently abled. She was one of those people. I don't know the technical term for it, but she was in one of those wheelchairs. She's like one of those really small people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know I'm not using the correct language, but don't come for me. Y'all know what I'm saying. You know, the really small people that got to be in the wheelchair. Okay, so anyways, But she's not a little person, though. It's something else, because little people walk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. Maybe she'd still be getting that kind of girl. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that she used to come into our store and lots of stores all throughout the mall, and she had like this booby trap door in her chair, and she would hide clothes in it. And when I tell you, this girl used to steal hundreds, thousands of dollars worth of merchandise from all these different stores in the mall. And she used to work at different stores and get fired. And you know, you would think it'd be easy to catch someone who can't run. Sorry, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but what you, it's only so much that you can do without getting sued. You couldn't just pick the girl up off the chair and take your stuff back. You couldn't ask her to move. Your hands were kind of tight. Either way, I saw this girl. She's out here living her best life. And I'm just like, girl, the amount of people that you probably got written up or fired and all these things. You know, look, all this, the moral of the story is that jerks come in all forms. Just because someone is differently able does not mean that they can't be a jerk. And that is my point. I hope that girl found Jesus and turned her life around, but, you know.
I mean, I wish she would have shoplifted at my store if I ever had one.
And what would you have done, Joseph?
There's no cameras there.
Well, she seemed like she was about that life, because after the club, we saw her rolling down the street yelling at somebody, cussing somebody out on the phone. She was just rolling around. She seemed pretty gangster, so I don't know that I would want to mess with her. And then some guy had to run out the club, and he was chasing her down the street, and then he grabbed her chair and pushed her back to wherever. I don't know, but it was, hell, I don't care. It was funny. Y'all can take what y'all want about me. it was kind of funny. It was funny. Don't you think, little Joseph? I wasn't the only one laughing.
Where is the limit to what you can put up with?
As far as what?
Just in integrity and honesty and loyalty and making an honest living.
Well, I guess she felt like the hand that she was dealt excused her from a moral compass.
I mean, my shoulder hurts and my leg hurts, but I still go to work every day and I don't steal and I believe in integrity and honesty and loyalty, so.
Yeah, well, you know, your legs work, so, you know, you have that going for you.
Well, her feet was tingling. I mean, back and forth, like.
Something's wrong with you.
But I'm just saying, well, it is what it is.
It is. And what it is remind me of another story about limits. How much can one take? And this one being a dog. So I heard a story recently, and I've never had a dog. I've been around some dogs, mostly friendly dogs, you know, whatever. But anyways, nonetheless, I heard this story about this dog. This couple had a baby shower, right? And there was kids at this baby shower. And so the dog's really hyper. And these kids played with this dog for about 8 hours, I think the woman said. And by the end of the baby shower, the dog was completely exhausted. But not only exhausted, the dog was out for the count for about 4 days, this lady said. Because the kids just completely wore this dog out. So the woman, she was kind of glad that they wore the dog out because she's about 8-9 months pregnant. So, you know, she's doesn't have a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying? She's about ready to drop that bomb, you know what I'm saying? So for the dog to be tired and worn out, it kind of helped her. But to me, it kind of raised the question of, is that normal? Look, I mean, 8 hours of doing anything is long for dog or human, animal or human. But is that normal for a dog to be completely lethargic for 4 days, or is that a raise of concern?
What was he smoking?
Well, I would hate to imply that this woman gave drugs to her pet, but is that normal for a dog to be that tired for that many days just before playing with children?
I don't know. I haven't been a dog owner in like 8-9 years, so.
It just sounded like a lot for me. And the other thing that kind of was, I found bothersome was, you know, look, being pregnant is hard. Having kids is hard. Having newborns is very hard. And my concern is if you guys as a couple are already struggling to keep up with this dog and the child is not even here, I just don't know that it's healthy or fair to the dog that you keep this dog. Do you see what I'm saying? Because, sweetie, it's not going to get any easier. And the dog, you can't keep the dog worn out like that for the sake of, oh, I don't have the energy to keep up with them. And if he's that hyper, you don't want the dog jumping all up on the baby, knocking the bassinet over, baby don't roll it all over to the fire pit. I don't know. I mean, am I reading too much into it? Or like, what do you think about people who have dogs and they're going to have newborns? What is your consensus on that?
Time limit
as far as what?
On how much time you can spend time with. I mean, you can't just let the dog spend all day. I mean, of course, it's like you got to let the dog play with the child so you can get to know the child, protect the child, knows, you know, the emotions, because dogs look at emotions. And, you know, dogs are, you know, they smell fear. They smell your emotions, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, was the lady tired of taking care of the baby, so she let the dog around?
Well, she hasn't had, that's what I'm saying. She hasn't even had the baby yet. She had a baby shower. So a baby shower, I don't know how familiar you are. Have you ever even been to a baby shower? You know what? You probably never been to. Have you ever been to a baby shower? Well, no. Yes, you have. You went once. You went to you went to my friend's baby shower. That was probably the first one. So a baby shower is a party, if you will, a welcoming party that you have for a baby before the baby is born, and everyone brings gifts for the parents so that they can have a kind of a jump start on, you know, taking care of the baby. Babies need lots of things. And plus, it's a celebration of bringing life into the world. So at this baby shower, there was children there, like nieces and nephews, friends, kids and stuff like that, that were playing with the dog and wore the dog out. And the mom to be was just so happy to have this 4 days of not having to run after this dog, because the dog could do nothing but lay on the couch. But I just felt like that sounded so, that was a lot. And I'm like, if you are basing in the, look, everyone needs a break and stuff, but I'm just like, the dog's not going to stay that lethargic forever. And you can't be wearing that dog out like that all the time just so you can have a break. But sweetie, if you already feel like you can't keep up with this dog now, when this baby gets here, you're not going to have any more energy. It's only going to get worse. And I just don't want to see little Fido getting neglected. Or the dog jumping up on the baby. She said the dog is really hyper. People really, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people are blinded by the love that they have for their dogs. And forget that these dogs can hurt these babies. I know that it's really cute to see your babies and toddlers cuddling with the dogs and the stuff, which I don't like all that. I don't like when dogs be laying all on the baby, looking all on the baby face, talking about, oh, it's your little brother. Man, no, that's, I'm sorry, man. I think that's too close for comfort. Don't be having a dog that just licked its butt looking on your baby's face. Man, I'm sorry, that's nasty. Look, I know you love your dog and maybe you can get your dog back, but I recommend either giving the dog away or letting someone keep the dog for a little while until the baby is kind of, at least on some kind of a sleep schedule, to where you can have this dedicated time to both baby and dog.
Baby don't smell like butt.
Ew. Ew, Joseph.
Well, you just said the dog licking his butt.
Well, that's what they do. And then people just let the dog lick all on the baby. That's nasty. I'm so sorry. People that let their dog lick them all on the face and mouth and stuff, it's nasty. I'm sorry. It's nasty. It's nasty. And yuck. Ew. I'm going to need everybody to get breath mints and toothpaste.
It's nasty when you see people sleeping with their dogs and kind of, I mean, that's nasty. I mean, personally, I mean, I was a dog owner, not only one, two, I had two boxers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a limit to what they do. Don't jump on the couch. Don't sit on the couch. Don't even jump on the bed. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there should, That's just me. I know there's people that sleeps with their dog and bang probably with their dog. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, there's a difference, or you should keep a certain distance.
Yeah, it's got to be boundaries, man. I mean, look, to each his own, especially when it's not.
I love dogs. Like,
yeah, when it's not kids involved, or look, do what you do, but watch my shoes. That's all I'm saying. You know, just for me, I feel like it's got to be in line to keep the level of hygiene at bay. I don't want the dog licking me. And don't tell me the dog doesn't bite. I don't care that your dog doesn't bite. I don't want the dog jumping on me. If I'm scared of your dog, remove it. People who own dogs love to think everyone's dog people, not everyone's cat people. Oh, it doesn't bite. I don't care. I don't get it. Remove thee.
Get her.
Remove him from my presence. People love to say, oh, she doesn't bite. She got teeth, don't she? Shit. She bites something. She ain't ever bit you. That don't mean it won't bite me. The point is I'm scared. Can you please put your dog away? I don't know. We've had that conversation before. We're not going there again. So while we're on the subject of things that grind my gears, first let me ask you, Joey, what's something that grinds your gears?
Everything.
Oh, that's unfortunate. You must lead a very miserable life.
No, not. I look forward. I don't look backward. So when something is, what was the phrase again?
Grinding your gears. I mean, like a pet peeve. You got like a pet peeve that's just like, ah, stop it.
I just don't like dishonest people.
Oh yeah, especially when don't play in my face. Especially when it's very blatantly obvious that you're lying. Yeah, that makes me go postal. Yeah.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, you best believe it. Yeah, because yeah, it's like why lie?
Like, guys, I already know the answer to your the question I'm asking, and I mean, of course, I research before I even approach something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you asking is just a courtesy. You're extending a courtesy to give the person the benefit of the doubt, giving them an opportunity to come clean, come forward, and have an adult conversation. Most of the time, if someone's asking you something, they already know the answer. Because why else would they be asking? So you might as well just fess up and move on. Unless it's a legal thing, then in that case, I would plead the fifth and lawyer up. But that's a different conversation. My pet peeve right now is this Bush International Airport, one of the Houston airports, and they've completely changed it, Joseph. And you will see on Friday what they have done to this airport. It makes no sense. And I don't understand. Why is flying so complicated? It's like they don't want us to do it. And I know they want our money. So why, Houston? And other difficult airports, why must you, is my question.
I don't know.
Well, not you. I know you're not in charge of the infrastructure.
I got to call the FDA.
Well, I don't think they have it. Do they have anything to do with the regulations of the airport? I know they have a regulation of the flights and the planes in the sky. Deluxe apartment in the sky. But anyways, what they've done at this airport, I'm not even going to get completely into it, but people, if you plan on flying and you have to stop at the Bush or fly out of it or whatever, I mean, it is just, and then it's, you have a bunch of employees standing around. No one knows what they're doing. No one is helping. They're sending you text messages constantly from the night before to the time you get on the plane. They're sending you 1,000 text messages that are completely contradicting each other, contradicting what the instructions are at the airport itself. And then the most puzzling thing to me is that now, you know, normally you get on the plane from the second level. Now we are getting on the plane from the ground, which means you have to go outside instead of going through the little tunnel. And I'm just like, what's going to happen when it rains? What's going to happen when it is cold outside? What is it going to be like when it's blazing hip hop and R&B outside in 100 degrees.
You got the month of May.
Do what now?
Well, if it's cold outside, you got the month of May.
Help me. Help me, Martha. Help me, Martha. Really?
I guess you say
what can make me feel this way. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, bring it back. We lost our way. But no, look, I just feel like, look, we all know that a lot changed with airports after 9/11, and, you know, safety measures had to be in place. I understand we couldn't have the days where people were just walking up to gates, giving family dap, waiting for me. Like, sure. But it's gotten to the point now, you go, TSA is yelling at you. They changed flights at the last minute. You could be sitting there waiting on for your plane. You could be waiting at the gate 45 minutes. And just for then 5 minutes before, say, oh, actually, we're going to change it to a different, not only just a different gate, but a completely different terminal. Let's see how fast you can run. I mean, I don't understand. Also, another grievance is, why does everyone have to pay something different for these plane tickets? Depending on where you buy it from, depending on when you buy it.
Feeds, then you got to book. Yeah, it's, I mean, you already, I thought it was all inclusive. Like, if you're buying the plane ticket, it comes with seats.
Yes.
If it says two, passenger for two, it should be included. Why are we paying extra money for seats? I don't care about upgrading. I'm just getting in that mother sucker, flying where I gotta go, and then getting off. I don't care if I sit in the front or the back. Guess what? It's going to one destination, and that's where I'm gonna go.
Yeah, and then the gag is, you could pay to pick your seat, and then only to get up there and they tell you, oh, actually, you can't sit here. What? Like, that happened to me. Like, I don't think I paid for my seat last time I went, because I went by myself. It didn't matter. I don't really don't have a preference where I sit on a plane, honestly. But I'm like, I don't think I paid for that seat, but imagine I paid for this seat, and then they were like, oh, well, we moved you so a family could sit together. Man, I don't give a damn about that family. No, I mean, God bless that family. But the point is, like, maybe, what if I really wanted that seat? What if I had anxiety? What if I was the type of person that I was superstitious about numbers or something? You know, sit up here and
check. Somebody came up to me and say, you got to move for that family.
Well, she didn't even ask.
You're talking about, I ain't paid for this.
Joey, say it in my home. Say it.
Namaskaram.
Joey, for real, come on, don't get shot, man. Please let me exploit your culture. Jeez. Okay. Anyways, but no, I didn't even make it on the plane. So it was like, first of all, and this is another fun thing that Bush.
1999 on a CD, you can learn it all. What do you get?
A CD. Anyways, this is another thing that Bush Airport is doing. You have to scan your boarding pass. I'm not even lying. At least 5 times. Before you even get on the plane. I mean, it's insane. It used to be you scan it when they checked your ID before you go through TSA, and then again when you board the plane. You are scanning this damn boarding pass. I mean, I'm like, why am I doing it this many times? This is getting ridiculous. Because if I made it to this point, what are we doing here? And then, when I'm about to board the plane, I scanned my thing. And she was like, oh, hold on, wait. And then the way she did it was very startling. I'm like, damn, bitch, did I steal something? What's going? First of all, don't be so alarming, lady. She was like, oh, hold on, wait. And then she was like, we changed your seat so the family could sit together. I'm like, okay, so you had to cause a scene for that? You can just say.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to ask before you change the
seat. Exactly. I was like, since when do we just tell people we change seats here? I was like, who is this on this plane?
I would have took my earrings off and I would be like, sister, who do I talk to?
Well, I had to make it to Louisville that day, so, you know. I was just like, okay, anyway, but yeah, I thought that was the procedure, but I guess they ain't asking folk no more, because people are saying no now. I'm starting to see those articles too. People are telling people, nah, hell no, I ain't moving. Y'all should have booked y'all seats together. you know, that's just sorry. Sorry about it.
Sorry, your child gonna sleep with somebody else.
Now, if it's a child, that's different. But if you a husband and wife, y'all wanna sit next to each other, that's not my problem.
I'm sorry, old grandma gotta sit all the way back.
Oh, Joey, what?
I paid for this seat just like her.
Joey.
Sorry.
Are you saying, why are you in them Skittles like that?
I'm not so security, so it's all right.
Joey, why are you chewing them Skittles like that?
It tastes good.
You want to hear something dark about planes? Plane crashes? Maybe I shouldn't tell you before you get on one. You want to know?
I mean, you already brought it up.
Okay, so, okay, check this out. This is crazy. All right. So,
I already know who I'm going to use as a...
Good luck. Biggie Smalls. All right, so anyways, so...
I love you,
babe. There's something wrong with you. But now, check this out. Okay, so you know how you're on the plane? I don't know why I said check this out. Anyways, we're going to ignore it. And they tell you to use the bottom of your seat for a flotation device or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, it does work as a flotation device, but it's not necessarily to save your life. Okay, most of the time, which is very rare, we all know that flying is safer than driving a car. But anyways, on the rare occasion that your plane does go crashing down into a body of water, you're probably not going to survive off of impact, okay? And depending on what body of water you land in and time of year, it's probably going to be really cold. So you're going to probably freeze to death. And then if not that, depending on how... What?
It's going to take me a couple of hours to drive where I'm meeting you.
Okay, can I finish what I'm saying? I hate when you cut me off. It's so annoying. Because I can't keep my train of thought. So, okay, where was I? Okay, so, all right, so either you're going to die on impact, you're going to freeze, or depending on how far offshore you are, you're not going to be able to swim to shore. But by the time someone gets to you, it's just going to be too late, right? So, why the floating devices is so that they can find your body and send you back home. So they just don't want, you know, your perished body just, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So you've put on the flotation device so they can...
Eventually it's going to float up.
Eventually, but if you have on your flotation device, we don't have to wait on eventually. Everyone's going to be floating in a cluster of sadness. Just scoop everyone out of the water.
I don't know about everybody, but hey, this ain't Titanic moment.
Yeah, well, it's, like I said, it's not about survivors. It's about, you know.
Put one leg out, and I put one leg out, and whatever body is going to be numb is going to be numb. And whoever... Live long to tell the story.
Boy, what?
You seen Titanic?
Yeah, but I didn't follow. I know you're tired. No, right. You can
in
go to bed,
son. I'm just saying, in the cold water, it depends on if you land in the cold water.
So you say you're going to have one leg on something, one leg on something else?
Well, what I'm saying is in Titanic, you know how he put the girl on the...
Door. Yeah.
And then he was in the water, but... Of course, he had hypothermia, and then he died of. And she was, you know, yes, it was cold, but she wasn't on the water.
I'm, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. After we're done with this podcast, I'm going to have you listen to this part, and you're going to listen back, and you're going to see that what you said made absolutely no sense at first, because you was talking about your legs and your stuff, and we're going to play it back.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if I was...
No, what you're saying now makes sense, but what I'm saying is your initial words, there was not a complete thought there.
No, I'll call Johnny Cochran.
Joey, that's not fun. But anyways, so fun fact about Titanic. First of all, there was room for both of them on that door. Let's just keep it a buck. She, he could have...
Scoot over.
Yeah, he could have got up her And then you want to know something else even crazier is, so you know how Rose, the girl, let homie Leonardo DiCaprio, what was his name in the whatever, you know how she let old boy go and he drowned in there, right? Well, when she pried his cold frozen hands off the door, when he sinks, there's bubbles coming out of his nose. So what that means is he was still breathing. He just was unconscious. So if she just would have let him hold on, he could have got saved too. He didn't freeze to death. He was just unconscious. And then 2 seconds later, that man came, "Hello, is there anyone out there?" And she's blowing that whistle, blow the whistle, blow the whistle. So anyways, the point is, she could have let homie on the door, and then she basically unalived him because he was still breathing. He was just unconscious. He had a chance. Anyways, so that's something that they debate about on the onlines, because scientifically, if he was already
at that moment, God should have sent him a dolphin to ride out, and then when he got to the shore, they're like,
"Well, you know, dolphins eat people, don't they? Bite
or no, eat. It's killer whales
and dolphins too. I think dolphins eat people." I'm gonna Google it. Yeah, I'm gonna Google it. Right.
By you and be like,
no, they said dolphins are mean. They're smart, but they're mean. I know people ride some of the dolphins that like you know, there's attractions and stuff. There's places you go that you can hold on to the little dolphin and it'll swim around. But I think dolphins can be aggressive. I don't. Let me see. Are dolphins aggressive? Let's see. Dolphins are, oh, I'm sorry, my fault. Dolphins are generally not aggressive to humans, but they can be hostile towards swimmers. What? That don't even make sense. That don't make sense.
Just don't call them flippers.
Some say that swimming alongside humans can be stressful for wild bottlenose dolphins, and that interactions with people can change dolphin behavior for the worse. For example, dolphins can lose their natural wariness, making them easier targets for vandalism and shark attack. Okay, I don't know what that article was. It said a whole bunch of nothing. Okay, so generally they're not, but be careful swimming by them. You might trigger something. It's basically what I'm gathering from the stuff I'm reading. So my fault, I didn't mean to throw the slander on the dolphins out. I had heard something that they get a little, you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, that's why we Google stuff.
Were they drinking what, White Claw? Or are they drinking?
I wouldn't be surprised if dolphins turn up. They seem like they would know how to party. I would party with some dolphins safely. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the noise?
Isn't it? Yeah. That's you. Don't act like you can't make a better dolphin sound than me. Go ahead, Joey. Imitate a dolphin. Excuse me? Was that a cough or a dolphin?
That was the call of the wild.
Okay. Did you put yourself on speakerphone? Okay, you can't do that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We're almost done here. Last thing I do want to bring up, though. So, how do you feel about, and this is, I'm jumping ship here. Get it? But it was because we just talk about ships. Anyways, there's been people who have been catching on to retail employees hiding things. So, for instance, something new comes out, everybody wants it, it's a hot commodity. People who work at the stores they're not putting out all of it or even most of it. And in fact, they might not put it out at all. They're hiding it and keeping it for themselves. And a lot of times, depending on what it is, they'll take it for themselves and go sell it for triple, double, or quadruple the price on eBay or some secondhand site. How do you feel about employees hiding things for their own benefit?
First of all, it's an integrity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Customers are the ones who pay pretty much every employee in that store's bill.
Yeah.
So, to me, they have to have a good security team for that, because usually the AP, asset protection manager, usually in all retail stores, most retail stores, I say, they mm-hmm. check in all or the manager. So the integrity starts with the upper level.
Yeah, I agree.
What I think about it is that, you know what, honestly, at the end of the day, you do what's right. So, I mean, yes, some people or most people or whoever work in retail, I mean, personally, I've seen it myself, but I've never done it. And it's an integrity thing. So, therefore, I'm not going to snitch on anybody, but people like that get caught themselves.
And oh, yeah.
They don't last. And I've seen that in my years of working in retail. So, therefore, what you do behind closed doors always comes to the light, and it comes when you least expect it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the truth certainly always comes out, like you said. You know, look, back in my retail days, at least at Garage.
Back in my day.
We got first dibs on things, but you couldn't just hide it in the stock room. You couldn't say, you know, if you were going to buy it like right then and there, then, you know, you could have it, obviously. But all this, oh, keep this, save this for me, or put the size away, or whatever, you couldn't do that. And that's not unique to that store. That's, like you said, that's pretty universal across retail, you know, stores. But, you know, let's play devil's advocate here. You know, if it is a really hot commodity, let's be honest, retail doesn't pay that much, depending on what, unless you're in upper management or, you know, if you're just a regular, you know, floor employee, a cashier or whatever, you know, you're not making a whole lot in most stores. Obviously there's an exception to that rule. If you work, you know, I'm sure if you're working in somewhere like Gucci or something, you probably making a nice little piece of change, you know what I'm saying? But look, it is the reason why these employees feel so inclined to allow themselves to hide these things, buy them, and then go, you know, flip them elsewhere. You know, look, yeah, you got to get it how you live. If you are not making an adequate amount of money at your 9 to 5, yeah, you're going to get a little creative. I'm not saying that it is right.
You should find another job then that suits you best of your ability to make money, what you're worth, not what you can steal.
Sure. Well, it's not stealing because they pay for it.
It doesn't matter. It's about integrity.
Yeah. And I agree, but I think it opens up a bigger issue of, you know, look, if you pay your employees a living wage, then you're going to be in a situation where integrity is going to be exercised a little more. Now, integrity should not have a price tag on it, but this is the real world, and unfortunately it does. People have kids to feed, student loans to pay, and they got to put gas in the tank to be able to come to your little funky job. So all I'm saying is, if you're not going to pay people, then people are going to get creative. You know,
well, if you want to say kids and stuff like that, well, if you're every corner store and every gas station, every CVS, Walgreens, Walmart to HEB sells protection. And if you're not ready for a child and to take care of that child because you don't have enough income and you're not even supporting yourself, then well, why do things that you're not capable of?
Oh, I agree. Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I agree with that. But you know what? Life happens and people get caught up. It is what it is. Sometimes some people get unexpected children. What about people who suddenly have to be the sole provider for younger siblings? They didn't birth those children, but, you know, they are blood. They are younger siblings. They're going to I don't want to say take on the burden of, but they're certainly going to foot that bill out of love and, you know.
Better call Tyrone.
Tyrone can't do a damn thing. So, anyway. So, Joey, you know, look, we've gone on. This one was a little longer, but this was longer because this is it. This is the season finale. This is also the finale of Little Joseph being on his first 10 episodes with me. Will he be back next season? I guess you got to tune in next time to find out. But Joey, I want to ask you, how was this being your first podcast and everything? How was the experience? What about it did you like? What didn't you like? What would you...
I mean, I've never really paid attention to podcasts a lot like that, but I've listened to a few, I guess, here and there, but just to do it, it's kind of like, man, like, I didn't know I can do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Sometimes you can't speak on everything sometimes, I guess. And me, I'm old school, so I have to watch what I say, or because, you know, people's feelings are getting hurt.
Well, you know, look, I certainly don't. Censor you like that. I really don't censor you at all. Yeah, in a public forum, yeah, you do have to be.
I mean, like what I'm saying, like for example, like you brought up the situation with the individual that you saw out that used to be as like a thief, like completely, and using the disability to take advantage of whatever. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I had a store, I would be the persecutor of the security if I catch you doing something.
Well, yeah, but there's opening up a really large.
Here's something that, like I'm saying, like for example, if you work hard to get where you are, and you're doing right by the people, if someone is taken away from what you're trying to do, then you should be the judge of either guilty or not guilty towards that individual. Because guess what? There's no free in life. The only thing free in life is love.
Yes, I understand. But the thing is that you have to look at the bigger picture. If it's going, if a lot of these stores have policies that the employees are not allowed to approach or pursue shoplifters. Most stores, their policies are
retail store.
Okay. Most stores, their policy is you call security and give a description of the person. You try to do it while they're still in the store, but usually they catch the people. But when you start talking, even after they leave the store, if you give a decent description and then kind of tell them the way that they're heading, they usually get caught. They're usually pretty good about it. But the thing is that now our store was easy to hit up because the door to get out of the mall was right next to the store. So that people used to hit our store a lot because you could go in, take something, and then quick and just leaving you being a car gone. But anyways, that's another story. The thing about approaching or accusing someone who is differently able, even then, this is 10 years ago, but especially now, you're opening up a can of worms that could potentially get the entire store sued. Like, obviously, we were 100% sure that this girl was doing this, but it's such a delicate way that you had to handle it without getting the whole store put on blast. It's not worth it. You know, all stores have an insurance policy. They have a wiggle room to factor in loss of profit due to theft. And also, people are crazy. You as an employee, you do not get paid enough to put your life on the line. Yes, you want to protect the integrity of the store and your job. And it doesn't feel nice when somebody steals right from under your nose, whether it's your personal stuff or just the stuff that you're watching and the store that you're working in. But it is not worth going up to somebody and they whooping your ass because you try to call them out for stealing. It's like, do I want to get beat up or sued over a $50 pair of jeans? Not really. You know, I mean, you gotta weigh it out. You gotta weigh it out. Because, and then with someone who's differently able, you better be very, very sure Because you don't know if she had an extra trap door. Because then it's like, how much right do you have to search her? How much right do you have to open up her chair and look in the trap door? Then she could turn and say, you know, they didn't have a warrant or they didn't have permission to search through. But you know what I'm saying? It's very complicated. It's layered. And then she could turn and say, well, they touched me inappropriately. Because you would have to physically move her out of the chair. So even if you do win the lawsuit of, yeah, she's got to pay you for items stolen or maybe you get your stuff back. She can then in turn say, well, while they were searching me, they hurt me. They did that. You see what I'm saying? You're opening up a bigger can of worms that just might not be worth a couple pair of jeans. You just, you know, it depends on how you want to look at it. Now, when we're talking about a jewelry store and you go in and you try on necklaces and stuff and you're like, oh, I like this. And then you run out of store with a $20,000 necklace. Then, yeah, maybe, you know, yeah, it might be worth confronting that person or tackling them at the door. You know, you got to weigh it out. Little Joseph. Joey. Yoo-hoo. Joey,
I'm here.
Are you asleep? Were you on mute?
Sorry, it does stuff for a second.
Damn, that's messed up. Anyways, I'm gonna say this last thing, and then I'll let you go. What? Don't joke like that. That's not funny. That's not nice. That's not nice. But all of that to say, to go back to your original point of, yeah, when you're on a public forum, you do have to be careful what you say. But here you have to be on Nellyville the podcast. Are you on speakerphone, Joey? I'm echoing. Okay, dang, I'm echoing. I hope it's not picking up. But anyways, on my podcast, I try to keep it as family friendly as possible. Now, if you are on another podcast, I mean, yeah, half at it. You could talk the way that you talk. Because you generally don't say anything, like, crazy or really out of pocket. It's just that here it's a little more family friendly. We have a little bit of curse words and stuff like that. But I try to keep it lighthearted because everything else is so dark. And then I also try to keep it a little family friendly because for whatever what reason, lots of, which I don't mind, but lots of young people listen to the podcast more than grown people. I don't know why I get pushed to young people, but you know, I don't know. I mean, it's fine, but I just definitely try to be mindful of that. And then plus that's just kind of my personality in general. But, yeah, I'm glad you had fun. But overall you had fun, little Joseph.
Great time. I think next one, if I'm doing a 10, I think I want to speak how I really want to speak.
Okay. Look, feel free to speak how you want to freak. I'm a freak. Speak how you want to speak because at the end of the day, I'm the editor. So if I have to bleep something or I take something out, that I can. But in the moment, sure, feel free to say whatever you want. But also remember what you say. A lot of times people get on podcasts and they don't even realize what they said. And then they go home and they're like, oh my gosh, why did I say that? So,
I'm a forward man.
Yeah. We're not.
I don't hold anything behind if I have to say something, what I feel.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak your mind, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, sure. I don't know what that means, but all right.
I was like the lips.
All right, I'll be Geechee to you too. So anyways, you know, look, we're not live. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to speak a little more freely, go ahead and we can play it back and see if, you know, if it's a go, if we can upload it. That ain't no problem. You know what I'm saying? Now you start doing stuff live, that's when you know what I'm saying? You got to be careful what you're doing. It might come back to bite you, you know? Also, I'm a nanny, so that's another reason why I also have to be. I speak my mind pretty much the way I want to, but I got to be careful what I say because that could affect you know, my livelihood, I gotta be careful. But anyways, with all of that being said, thank you so much, Little Joseph, for doing the podcast. It's been a blast. Season 7 is going to be coming soon. I can't wait to get back with you guys. We are going to obviously take just a little bit of break. It ain't going to be no long break like it was last time. Last time, it was a whole lot of stuff that was happening, and I wanted to do this with Joey, so it took us a little longer to coordinate how we were going to do this. But, yeah, so it'll be just a normal break in between, maybe like a week or two, three weeks max, and we'll be back. But, of course, YouTube every week. You can find me on TikTok, all of my other social media. You can find Little Joseph, and Little Joseph's going to tell us the song of the week, the final song of the season. What is it?
Explosive by Dr. Dre.
Okay. I see where you're going. I see the vibes. I catch the vibes. I like vibes. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for listening. It's been fun. Oh, it's bittersweet. But we must be going. We clocked in at an hour, you guys. So, yeah, enjoy this Dr. Dre explosive. And we'll catch you in the next season, in the season, next episode.
West Coast, my push plays a track. Girls that used to turn they back, causing me to yank they arm and pose like I would do them all. Now I'm saying thank you, cause they tell me my the bomb explosive. For my drinking, smoking.